May 8th, we have Mother's Day. So we're going to party again. Yeah, I'll throw some more meat on the grill. Don't worry, I don't get tired of cooking for y'all. It's just a good time. So we'll figure out something to come with. Now this is the guy's deal now. This is where you got to step up to the plate. You're going to cook something for the women. Yeah. Yeah, we're going to eat too, but yeah, I mean, you're going to have to step out of your comfort zone on this one. What's that? Pinto beans? Okay, that works. Oh, I thought you said red beans. Huh, red beans ain't pinto beans. Okay, then on Saturday, May 14th, we're going to have a night of praise and worship here in prayer. And it'll be kind of a fun way to explore some new ways to worship God and pray. You know, we're going to spend some time praying, and Tessa's going to be leading that praise and worship service. It'll be a good time, and that happens at 6 o'clock. And then, of course, Memorial Day on the 30th. Seems like there's one more trick day in April I'm supposed to be remembering. I'll think of it. I'm sure it'll come across my mind.
It was my birthday Friday. That's what you were thinking.
Probably. Yeah. Huh? Oh, it's that trick day. Your birthday. No, it'll be our anniversary. I ain't forgetting that one. Well, can I have a couple people help me with the communion? And we will. This is a piece of matzah bread. This is the exact way God said to make it. And the reason being is we're supposed to identify Jesus in this bread. And that's what God wants us to see. He wants us to see that sacrifice in this bread. When you look at this whole piece of bread, first thing you're going to notice is that this bread is made without yeast. And yeast is significant of sin in the Bible. We have to understand that Jesus absolutely never sinned one time. He is 100% without sin. And that's significant because the reason our blood is contaminated is because Adam sinned in the garden. And that contaminated our blood. Just the very fact that you have Adam's blood coursing through your veins means that you have a need for a Savior. You were born into a sin state. I don't care how good of a person you were. You need a Savior. Jesus' blood is the blood of God. That's why His sacrifice could wash away our sins completely and make us perfect in the eyes of God. Also, this bread has been beaten and bruised. This bread, you look at it, it's been pounded flat. Jesus' body was beaten and bruised for us. And if you look at this bread, you notice that there are stripes in this bread. And it's by his stripes we were healed. And you look at this bread and there's holes in it. That means that Jesus' body was pierced for us. Everywhere Jesus' body was pierced, he shed blood. And everywhere he shed blood, we get some redemption for some area of our lives. Now, and if you look at this bread, it's slightly burned. It means the full wrath of God's fiery judgment, the judgment that was meant for us, was laid on Jesus when he was on that cross. His body was broken for us. We're taking this for our healing. We thank you for this. We see that sacrifice and we receive the blessing that is meant for us through this communion. The blood of Jesus, the blood of God. We honor the blood. This is the only thing that could save us. That shed blood of Jesus. Without the shed blood of Jesus, there would be no remission of sin. Without the shed blood of Jesus, there would be no forgiveness. Now, it's because of that shed blood of Jesus that we have been put back into right standing with God. Whatever Adam did wrong in the garden, Jesus made right. Amen? We thank you for this. Well, all right, we do have children's church. Yeah, if you want to go with Miss Connie right here, go back for children's church and Darion. Hi, Bubba, how are you? All right, that is a beautiful dress. Good morning. He's alive. Praise God. I was curious, you know, we've been on a series, you know, I asked four questions of how Christian are you? How Christian is your God? How do you see yourself? And how does God see you? You know, in the first lesson we found out, how Christian are we that we're washed in the blood, we're righteous by faith, we're saved by grace. That's how Christian we are. We found out when we asked the question, how Christian is your God, that he's always going to point you to the cross. We found out that he doesn't love us because he sent Jesus to the cross to die for us. He sent Jesus to die on the cross because he loved us. Amen? He first loved us so that we can love him. Now the next question I got for you is, how do you see yourself? And this has everything to do with resurrection. When you understand the resurrection of Christ, you're going to have a whole, complete different outlook on how you see yourself. Remember, it's all about locating ourselves, finding out where we truly do stand. I want you to look at Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7. Interesting story about this verse. I ran across this verse when I was in junior high. in the high school library. I found a book by Kenneth Hagin, of all things, called As a Man Thinketh. I thought, that's a curious book. So I started reading it, and I was kind of getting into it, and then they started talking about being born again, and I just kind of closed the door and closed the book and put the book back on the shelf and walked away. So I was at a crossroads right there, and I took the wrong road. You notice sometimes people turn left when they should have turned right? It happens. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7 says, "For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. How you believe in your heart. You know, we have a world that is focused on self-help. Positive thinking. You can go to the bookstores, you can go down the middle and go to the bookstores, and you can find row after row after row of self-help books. And trying to get people to think differently, trying to be positive thinkers. And then they'll mix in some pharmaceuticals to help them think differently. But the Bible tells us, as a man believeth in his heart, so is he. See, it's going to be right believing that's going to change your outlook on how you see yourself, not positive thinking. You're going to think positively when you start believing right. And you're only going to be able to believe right when you focus on the Word of God. When you start seeing the new creation realities of all these things that Jesus did for you, all these things that Jesus did to you, and all these things that Jesus is to you and who you are in Him. Always remember, it's always got to lead back to the cross. What does the resurrection mean to you? See, in the eyes of God, you were with Jesus when He got resurrected. See, you got justified freely by His grace. The minute that God raised Jesus back to life, you got justified freely by His grace. And now, you are seated at the right hand of God in Christ Jesus. See, it's important to find yourself in the Bible. Now, I want you to look at Luke chapter 24, and we're going to see what happens here. Luke chapter 24, verse 13. "And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus Himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know Him. And He said unto them, What manner of communication are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto Him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And He said unto them, What things? They said unto Him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And now the chief priests and our rulers delivered Him to be condemned to death and have crucified Him. But we trusted what it had been, He which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done." Now here's some guys that find themselves in the same boat as a lot of Christians. They're not focused on the resurrection. The resurrection is absolute victory. See, it's because we believe in our heart that God raised Jesus back to life. That we're born again. That's absolute victory. Now we have a lot of Christians that are not focused on the absolute victory. And you can tell by just visiting with them. They'll start talking about how hard things are going to be in the economy. They'll start talking about bad inflation. They'll be down about it. I had a banker the other day. He come out and he's wanting to loan me some money. And I said, you know, we're living in pretty perilous times right now. I'm not much into borrowing. I like to pay cash. Yeah, I understand. And he said, I don't really know what's going to happen. I said, this dollar is going to go away. Well, when you say that to a lot of people, they say, oh my God. That's a good thing. That means the devil loses. You realize we're going into a whole new... God wins. God wins. I don't care how scary things may look in the natural, God wins. Amen? He wins. And He has placed you in this time for such a purpose. To be victorious. You're not here by accident. You weren't born 100 years too late. You were born for this specific time. You have a purpose. Now, I want you to notice something. Oh, that's not a very good book. I want you to describe this page. Just describe it. You're more talkative, Mike. Describe this page. You describe this page. It's the same book. It's the same book. How you look at things, how you look at each situation is going to be determined by how you see yourself. If you see what's going on in the world as the end of all ends, you're not seeing yourself through the Bible. If you see what's going on now as an opportunity to watch God do miracle after miracle after miracle, now you're seeing yourself through the eyes of the Bible. Amen? But you're going to have to spend some time identifying yourself. Be honest with yourself. Where do you really stand? See, if the challenge looks insurmountable, you're not looking at yourself through the eyes of the Word. Who are you really? Are you a child of the Most High God? Or are you just a humble servant that got born again? See, there's a difference between a child and a servant. See, a servant in the Old Testament had no shoes. But a child had shoes and a signet ring. I mean, a child has authority. A child gets let in on what the father's doing. The father tells his children what he's doing. A servant is on a need-to-know basis. You're not a servant. We do serve God. You're not a servant. You are a son and daughter. Amen. Now look at Luke chapter 24 again. And we're going to see somebody that had a whole different outlook on what just happened here. Luke 24, verse 6. Well, let's start at 5. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. And returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. They got a revelation of the resurrection. And then they went out and they started telling people about it. That's your job. Every one of you got a job. Every single one of you. You go tell people about the resurrection. You go tell people Jesus is alive. Amen? He's alive. And he wants to be active in your life. Amen? There's a lot of people that are literally terrified about what's going on right now. The Bible says that in the end times that people's hearts would stop. You know, people can be so afraid that their hearts will stop. I run into them all the time. And a lot of them are Christians. Where is their hope? It can't be in anything else other than Jesus. Amen? I want you to look, we're going to do some contrast today. Look at Numbers chapter 13. We're going to the Old Testament here. Remember, we're all about locating ourselves. Finding out, where are we really? Now remember, we got a picture of the cross on our notepaper. You know, we put the negative outlook on one side and the positive look on the other side. You'll find out how you're looking at yourself, what side of the cross you actually stand on in your own thinking when you do this stuff. Numbers chapter 13, verse 33. Now, Moses had sent the spies in, and they were supposed to do some looking around for him. Numbers chapter 13, verse 33. And the children come back with these reports. Verse 33 says, There we saw the giant. The sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. These guys had a covenant with God. And they had a direct mandate from God to go into this promised land and spy it out. And they came back talking about themselves and talking about their mountain. They had a negative outlook about themselves. They said, we've seen ourselves as grasshoppers. They obviously didn't know and they didn't believe what was in their covenant. They didn't take the word of God and believe it in their heart. They said, we just this is too much. We believe that God can give us this land, but will he? I run into this all the time. All the time. Well, I believe God can heal me. I believe that God can meet all our needs. So what? Do you believe that he will and in fact already has? I want you to see somebody that had a whole different outlook. Somebody that took his covenant with seriousness. Just go up a few verses to verse 30. He took it to heart. Caleb. You know, the Bible describes Caleb and Joshua as having a different spirit than these other guys. Verse 30 says, Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. These guys were looking at the same giants. Caleb was looking at the very same giant, and these were giants. They were looking at the very same giants that everybody else looked at. But they had two different outlooks. One bunch saw themselves as not being able to do anything because they seen themselves as grasshoppers. But Caleb said, we can go in there and take this thing, take it over. We can do this. We're well able to do it. He was believing in his covenant with God. He was believing, he was convinced that God could and would do what he said he would do. You know, God has a very different outlook than a lot of people have on themselves. You know, Gideon was hiding in the wine press, threshing wheat. He was hiding from his enemies. He didn't have much of an outlook on himself. He didn't have much of a elevated look. He was worried. He was afraid. And this angel of the Lord come down there and said, Gideon! You valiant man, you! You're gonna save Israel. What was going on? God had to have this conversation with Gideon. Gideon had a low self-esteem. He had a low outlook. And God had to invade his world and convince him with his word that he could do what God said he could do. That's what pastors are supposed to be doing on every Sunday, is convincing you that you really can do the things that God said you can do. You're already qualified to do the things in the Bible that God said you can do. There's nothing else you have to do other than believe God. Amen? We learned that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So you're going to have to get active and listen to anointed preaching. You know, get in there and read your Bible so you can find out what God said you can do, so you can find out what God said you can have, and truly what he's already given you. Amen? Remember, the spies came back talking about their mountain, and Jesus told us to talk to their mountain. Amen? You know, when you start getting into the Bible and you start understanding what Jesus did to you. Pretty soon, Philippians 4:13 starts coming to be a reality. I remember that was one of the first Bible verses I ever learned. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Well, I thought, now that's pretty easy one to remember. And most of my life, I had had people telling me, you can't do this. You know, you're not rich enough. You can't do this because you don't have an education. You can't do this because of this. And you can't do this because of that. And you can't do this because of who you are. And you can't do this because of this. You can't do this because you did that. And see, I didn't have any foundation to stand on. I didn't really know what was going on when I was little and I grew up, and then I accepted those limitations. And then I found myself not being able to do those things. Then I got born again, and I started learning the truth, and I started finding out things that Jesus said about me. And that verse right there negated everything all those people ever had to say. I want you to know that the only limitations that you have on your life are the ones that you accept. We live in such a wonderful country. We have access to the Bible all the time. We have a constitution. We have civil liberties that are given to us by God. Yeah? And it doesn't matter what color you are. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter if you're male or female, young or old. It doesn't matter. As far as God's concerned, the sky's the limit for you. And you truly can do all things through Christ, which strengthens you. Because greater is He that is in you than he that is in this world. Always look to the cross. Every time you have a challenge, every time somebody tries to cast a limitation on you, look to the cross. What did Jesus do for you? Everything. What did Jesus give to you? Everything. God has freely given you all things with Christ Jesus. Look at Joshua. Chapter 14, verse 6. See, when Joshua finally got the children of Israel back to the river, it was after they had wandered around out in the desert, and that generation died. Except for Caleb and Joshua. Why? They believed God. They didn't fall into doubt and unbelief. They believed God. Joshua chapter 14, verse 6. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea, to espy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. Now Moses swore on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and the children's forever, because Thou hast wholly followed the Lord thy God. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said these 45 years, even since the Lord spoke this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years, 85 years old. 85 years old. And yet, I am strong. I am as strong this day as I was in that day that Moses sent me, as my strength was, that even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore, give me this mountain. Wherefore the Lord spoke in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. Here's an 85-year-old man ready to go in there and chase giants out. Why? He had a firm grasp on who he was, on what he had. You know, David was a little shepherd boy. And Goliath, a giant. Do you suppose maybe David had heard about Caleb at some point in his life? All the armies of Israel was down there, and they were hiding. Nobody wanted to go face Goliath. But David went down there, and he said, who does this uncircumcised Philistine think that he is, that he could stand up to the armies of God? Sounds kind of like a funny statement. But what he was doing is he was pointing out that giant does not have a covenant with God. I do. And he picked up 5 stones. What do you think he was going to miss? No. Goliath had 4 brothers. He wasn't going after 1 giant. He was going after 5. And he understood his covenant. He had practiced his covenant. When he was a shepherd, a lion came down and stole one of his lambs, and he went out there and grabbed that lion by the beard and killed him with a stick. And then a bear came down and got one of his lambs. And he went down there and grabbed that bear, took the lion out of his mouth, and killed him with a stick. I'm not there. I'm not attacking a bear with a stick. Well, I'm pretty tall. I've had access to some pretty good sticks. But the bears up home are a little meaner than the bears down here. Yeah. Look at 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. You realize everything changed when Jesus came back to life. Absolutely nothing would ever be the same ever again. Now, because we're born again, 1 John chapter 4, verse 4 is your verse. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That's a good thing to have a revelation of. God is on the inside of you. He's in there. He's in there. I remember when I finally got a revelation of that, my prayers went from a really high, loud volume to a real quiet, personal. Thing. It's pretty cool. I finally understood he is in there. The greater one lives on the inside of you. He lives in a temple that's not made with hands. He's in there. And he's bigger than any devil you'll ever face. And he's given you authority to handle any devil that comes across your path. God is on the inside of you. That means any challenge, I don't care if it's a physical challenge, I don't care if it's a financial challenge, God is on the inside of you and he's there to meet that need. And that is his will to meet your needs. Our job is to believe it and go on with life. Look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He's in there. When you got born again, he moved in. Man, as long as you got a breath in your body, you've got a chance. I always think about that frog. A big old pelican is swallowing this frog, but that frog has his hands wrapped around that pelican's throat, and it says, "Do not ever give up." Do not ever give up. You've got a chance. Jesus Christ in you, the hope of glory. God wants his glory seen on you. He wants you to get active in this deal. Amen. You're going to have to get your mouth in gear. You're going to say something anyway. You're going to say something anyway. You just will say what God says about you. Amen. Look at John chapter 14, verse 17. See? Even the Spirit of truth. Now this is Jesus talking right here. It's in red. This is Jesus talking, so it's not a lie. Verse 17 says, "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but you see me, because I live, you shall live also. At that day you shall know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you." Because he lives. Because he lives. That's everything. Because he lives. We can face tomorrow. You know, we sing that song. Because he lives, we get the victory. The Bible says that you've been made more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. You know what a conqueror, you know, a good picture of this scenario was this boxer. This heavyweight boxer went to a championship fight. And he got all beat up and he got a black eye. And him and his wife are standing there getting an interview. And he's talking about the fight and everything. Well, he was a conqueror. She was holding the check. She's more than a conqueror. You're more than a conqueror. Jesus took the beating for you. You got the victory. You are more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. Amen? You win. You win. Because he lives, we have a positive outlook on ourselves. We've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's good news. We're in right standing with God. We've been made new creatures in Christ Jesus. You know our past? It got wiped away. We started off with a clean slate. Well, what happens after I got born again? The blood of Jesus continually cleanses you from all sin. I'm going to tell you something right now. If you're holding something against somebody that they did 2 years ago, how do you expect the blood of Jesus to keep your sins away if you're holding against somebody later on? The blood of Jesus that washed your sins away is the same blood of Jesus that washed theirs away. They're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus too. And you need to just let your old grudges go. Because the other person don't care. And it's eating a hole in your gut. And it's rotting your soul. This is forgiveness. You're not going to understand forgiveness. You're not going to understand righteousness until you let other people go. Well, he did this. She did that. You don't know how bad it was. You know what? I don't care. God took care of him. This is a ticket to your blessing. Understanding righteousness. I mean, right standing with God. You're in right standing because of the shed blood of Jesus. So is your neighbor. You got to understand that. That's how you need to see yourself. Whatever was wrong with you and God before you got born again, got washed away by the blood of Jesus. Whatever mistake you made since you got born again, got washed away by the blood of Jesus. Amen? I want every head bowed and every eye closed. We've been talking a lot about forgiveness and talking about sins being washed away. And maybe somebody that's listening on these tapes or on these recordings, maybe you've never had a chance to connect with that forgiveness. Jesus said that a man must be born again. The Bible tells us that if we believe in our heart that God raised Jesus back to life, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we shall be saved. For it is with the mouth that confession is made unto salvation, and with the heart that man believes unto righteousness. And it can be appropriated simply by a simple little prayer. You just say this prayer out of your mouth so your ears can hear it. Lord Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for my sins. I believe that God raised you back to life. I ask you to come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. This day, I confess you, Lord Jesus, to be my Lord. Thank you, Father, for forgiving me. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. And if you said that for the first time, you just got born again. Now, I invite you to listen to these tapes or find a Bible preaching church that will feed you the Word of God, because the Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And God said that the just shall live by faith. And you are the just. The minute you get born again, you're justified. I want you to know that your sins are completely forgiven. You're clean. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Now, I encourage you to keep hearing the Word of God and keep growing in your faith so that you can live in victory. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, all right, we have snacks and coffee, and we have a short board meeting. Come on back and visit and have a snack. Pick up a kid or two.